from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we actually have a number of different topics to discuss. The Giants made another waiver claim, DFA'd another player who they had just claimed, so we'll break down that move. And then there's also been some movement in the free agent market in the outfield, which I think is going to affect a certain player who's of interest to the Giants. We also had the Hall of Fame vote, which we haven't talked at all about on this show, which I think is telling. So we'll discuss that a little bit. And then also I want to talk about the long-term future of the Giants, the short and the long-term future. We discussed recently the payroll situation for the Giants, but I want to take that a step further and explain, in my opinion, what that means about the Giants in the next few years with so much money coming off the books. So I guess we'll start with the actual transaction that took place with the Giants, and that is that they claimed Luis Madero off waivers from the Angels. So in last year's scouting report at FanGraphs from Eric Longenhagen and Kylie McDaniel, they said of Madero that he experienced a velocity spike in 2018 that moved him up from 87 to 92 up to 90 to 94, while he retained his advanced command of four pitches. The best of those four pitches is the curveball, which flashes big depth and snap. They say that further changeup development will be important for his low arm slot, and they say he profiles as a fifth starter, and the Giants claimed him, and in exchange, the Giants DFA'd Jake Jewell off the 40-man roster, whom they had just claimed recently, also from the Angels. And in order to make room for Jewell on the 40-man roster, the Giants had DFA'd Zach Cozart, whom they had acquired in a trade from the Angels. So a lot of Giants and Angels back and forth here. But I think going from Jewell to Madero definitely seems like an upgrade for the Giants. So Jewell last year on this list, which obviously hasn't been, they haven't published the updated 2020 version, but Jewell was five spots lower on the Angels' top prospects list. So I think it is an upgrade for the Giants, and that is kind of the name of the game with these types of claims and DFAs. The Giants will do it anytime they think they can make an incremental upgrade over somebody on the 40-man roster. So they obviously had Madero higher than Jewell in terms of their perceived value, and so they made the move. So really nothing to see here. It's just standard operating procedure for the new Giants front office. And really, it's good to see. I mean, there are plenty of teams out there who are bad teams who don't tinker with their roster. And to me, that is a way more depressing formula than what the Giants have been up to. I mean, I think the Giants aren't as bad as a lot of teams out there. But then they're obviously not the greatest team out there either. So the constant tinkering to me is like a good thing because it, you know, they know what they're doing. They're not just guessing about these guys. They have their valuations, and to them, each of these little moves is a slight improvement. And so I like to see that. I mean, I think of teams like the Rockies. We have Nolan Arenado calling them out for not doing enough to improve the team, and that's completely true. The Rockies have done basically nothing all offseason, whereas even given that the Giants probably figure to be similar to the Rockies, honestly, from a win total standpoint in 2020. At least the Giants have made some improvements and acquired some guys who they can trade at the deadline to get pieces for the future. The Rockies haven't done anything like that. So I don't know what the Rockies are doing, but the Giants are a much better run organization at this point in time. But anyway, moving on, I want to talk about Marcell Ozuna signing with the Atlanta Braves on a one-year $18 million deal. He gets just north of the qualifying offer, which he had originally rejected from the Cardinals. So it never really made sense for the Giants to go after Ozuna because to them, the draft pick that they would stand to lose is quite valuable as a team that's trying to rebuild its farm system. But the fact that Ozuna signed, I mean, it really thins out the outfield market. For a long time there, we were looking at Ozuna and Castellanos as the top two outfielders remaining. So all of a sudden you've just got one. And I think there's a huge drop off from Castellanos to whoever's next on the depth chart in terms of free agents. It may be Yasiel Puig, and I don't really like the long-term outlook for Puig nearly as much as I do for Castellanos. So if the Giants are in fact interested in Castellanos, then this Ozuna signing could very much be the spark that ignites the deal that finally gets done with some team, whether it's the Giants or not, because whoever else is looking for an outfielder, there's only one left who really, to me, is an impact player. So if the Giants are going to make an impact free agent signing, it's Castellanos or bust at this point. But that being said, I still think that they very easily could try to pull off a trade. I'm curious to see whatever goes down because they have been very clear that they are looking to improve the offense this offseason, and they haven't done so yet. And it's January 22nd. We're way under a month before pitchers and catchers report. That being said, the start of spring training does not indicate the end of the offseason. I mean, they could easily continue to add, make a trade in spring training. So we shouldn't really think of spring training as the end of the offseason. To me, the end of the offseason is the day before opening day. And even so, they acquired Kevin Pillar like 3 days into the season in 2019. So it's kind of a year-round project here to rebuild this organization into a perennial contender, which I think they will do sooner rather than later. So we're going to kind of discuss why in the second half of the show and relate it to the payroll. Also want to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame results from yesterday. So that's all coming up next. But first, this spring, follow your favorite baseball team to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles. Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, or you can just take in a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. You can even check off must-see destinations from your bucket list like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. If you're bringing the kids along, that's not a problem at all. Arizona is a fantastic destination for families with family-friendly resorts and hotels that offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Cannot advocate for this enough. It's a great time to head to Arizona, enjoy all that it has to offer, and baseball in the sunshine in February and March. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Giants is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Giants fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Giants fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, I want to talk a little bit about the Giants' financial future and how it really bodes well for what they're going to be trying to do here, returning to contention. And I also want to briefly discuss the Hall of Fame results from yesterday. But first, I think, honestly, more interesting is the financial future of the Giants. So we've spent a lot of time in the last week talking about how, you know, the Giants have been smart with their spending, their when they sign guys now, they're signing them probably to below market deals. And pretty much all of the contracts that Farhan Zaidi inherited when he took over the job were underwater assets, basically players getting paid more than they were producing. And a lot of the time, also figuring to get worse as they get older. And also having no trade clauses in a lot of cases. So he inherited a mess, and, you know, it's getting sorted out. And in the near term here, they're going to have, like, no obligations to any of those players. After this season, Jeff Samardzija comes off the books. And after next season, Posey, Crawford, Belt, Cueto come off the books as well. So then after the 2021 season, they're only committed to Evan Longoria, and that's for $14.7 million. And that's just 1 year remaining. And actually, it's $19.7 million because they also would owe him $5 million for the buyout in 2023. But for 2022, the commitment is just $14.7 million. And the Giants would also owe the buyout money of a total of $8 million to Cueto and Posey. So that's like $22 million essentially committed for 2022, just 2 years from now, like a blank slate for this organization. And then looking to 2023, it's nobody. They just owe the buyout to Longoria and they have nothing committed beyond that. Obviously, you know, there'll be guys eligible for arbitration. There'll be guys pre-arbitration eligible, you know, the prospects who come up, they may sign people, they may trade for people. But the big obvious fact is that future spending is going to be determined by Farhan Zaidi, and current spending was largely determined by Bobby Evans and Brian Sabian and that group. Like, most of the money the Giants are committing to their payroll this year and last year is overwhelmingly money that was committed before Farhan Zaidi got here. So looking ahead, it's a blank slate. And to me, that makes them clear and obvious players for top talent in free agency moving forward. And I think that much was obvious when they pursued Bryce Harper and offered him a legitimately strong contract north of $300 million. And I think that made sense given his age. He was 26 at the time of that pursuit. Giants had a big need in the outfield. They had their number and they offered it to him, and it was a strong offer. It was just that the Phillies honestly made a little more sense as a team that was ready to contend right then and there and had publicly stated their desire to spend stupid money that offseason to bring in elite talent. And so they weren't going to be denied, and they ultimately probably went a little beyond where they felt comfortable in order to make the deal happen. But I think moving forward, the Giants are going to be the team that's in that exact position where they have like unlimited spending power, basically. You know, one player is not going to hold them back and not going to be an issue to add. In fact, they could add like multiple star level players if they so desire to attempt to do that. So looking ahead to next offseason, you've got Mookie Betts as a clear and obvious potential fit for the Giants. And I've seen people say there's no way that they would acquire or sign Betts, but I can't see a possible reason why they wouldn't try. He's going to be 28 after next year, and he's exactly the type of player like Harper who makes sense as a long-term fit, and you're going to get multiple prime years given the fact that he's only 28. So I think they will definitely be players for Mookie Betts next offseason, and then the following offseason, like I said, before the year when they have almost no money committed just to Evan Longoria at this point, there are a lot of talented young players who are going to be free agents after the 2021 season. There are a number of shortstops, all who will be under 30, in Francisco Lindor, who will be 28, Javier Baez, who will be 29, Carlos Correa, 27, Corey Seager, 27, Trevor Story, 29. And another under 30 really good player will be Noah Syndergaard, who will be 29. So that's just kind of the under 30s, and there are tons of other talented players who will be free agents in the next couple of years, and I think the Giants are obvious fits for any of those guys. But it doesn't have to be just the star players. I think it's clear they're going to be big players in free agency moving forward. It just has to be the right fit, and they've shown in the last couple of off seasons that when the right type of player comes around, they're willing to be aggressive and offer massive multi-year deals. But if that doesn't work out, there's no reason to overpay and get stuck with an albatross. And then they look for value signings and guys they could potentially trade at the deadline to bring back young players with 6 years of control, like Mauricio Dubon. So anyway, the idea that they're like, you know, going to be thrifty with their money and they're not going to spend is obviously false. They're not going to enter 2022 with a payroll south of $50 million. It's just not going to happen. So the spending will come. It's just they've been opportunistic right now. But, you know, moving forward, I think the fit gets even better between the Giants and the most elite talent that reaches free agency. And it'll start next year with Mookie Betts and a serious pursuit. So lastly, just want to cover the Hall of Fame results from yesterday. I think it's telling that we haven't talked at all about it on this show. To me, there's just too much grandstanding and posturing with the Hall of Fame. And, you know, the fact that some of the best talent of all time isn't in there and Barry Bonds, again, was not elected yesterday, just makes me not take it too seriously, to be honest. So to me, it's not that big of a deal. He doesn't get in, but then it's not really a Hall of Fame. Jeter misses being unanimous by one vote. I think that's kind of funny. And very happy to see Larry Walker get in. Extremely deserving, and he made it in on the last year of his eligibility, his 10th and final year. So congratulations to Jeter and Larry Walker on their induction. And we'll have to wait another year, and it probably won't happen then either, for an induction for Bonds. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.